Indeed, O God, no strength in our own, no goodness do we claim. Yet we claim only the name of our Savior, who we hope to hear this evening. Father, we pray that you would indeed give us eyes to see and ears that are ready to hear. Father, we pray that you would soften our hearts by the gracious working of your Spirit, that you would equip us to live life in a hostile world, to fight against the evil one. Father, pray that you would strengthen us in this, you would encourage us by what we hear tonight. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please, congregation, come in your Bibles again to 1 Peter chapter 5. Page 1017 in our Redeemer Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 5, continuing in our series of this letter, coming very near to the end of our series, looking at verses 8 through 11 this evening, just these four verses. 1 Peter. Here in our passage, the Apostle Peter is pulling back the veil a bit. He's been writing to his readers about suffering, showing them how to live life in a hostile world, and world that's hostile to the gospel of Christ and to the people of Christ. Now he's showing us who is the one who is behind much of this hostility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. This is God's holy word. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to draw your attention again to the second to last verse of our text. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What a wonderful promise for the people of God. As I meditate on that wonderful promise, I was reminded of those words we oftentimes sing from Psalm 27. Uplifted on a rock, above my foes around, amid the battle shock, my song shall still resound. What amazing words to sing. What amazing words to sing in the midst of a raging war, a raging war that rages on between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. That even in the midst of the battle, the believer knows of his unmitigated, uncontested victory in Christ Jesus. That even in the midst of the battle, as darkness wages war against the light, we know that Christ is that light that shines in the darkness. And though the darkness tries and tries to overcome, that light shines through the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome. And this much we know for sure, even in the midst of pain and suffering in this life. C.S. Lewis has somewhere said that pain and suffering insist upon being attended to. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our consciences, but he shouts in our pains. He said that pain and suffering is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I think C.S. Lewis is right, because here in the last chapter of Peter's first letter to these physically and spiritually bruised believers comes the big promise that they can take with them wherever they go. This great promise to take with them into whatever circumstances come their way. I wonder how comforting it must have been for these first century Christians who are about to undergo a fiery trial, who have been suffering at the hands of the Roman Empire, to be reminded again that even though the world hates them, even though the world wants nothing to do with them, that their present suffering is but a light, momentary affliction that cannot be compared to the eternal weight of glory that will come in Christ. But even as their faith is tested as by fire, that faith will be found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as Peter said at the very opening of his letter. That has perhaps been the most consistent message of Peter's first letter to these exiles of the dispersion. So as he sang to them time and time again, it's okay. It'll all be okay. Everything is going to work out for your good in the end. There is an imperishable inheritance that is awaiting you, and an imperishable inheritance that is undefiled, that is unfading, that is being kept in heaven for exiles like you and me. And yet in the midst of great suffering, the people of God are always at great risk, aren't they? They are at great risk of becoming so overwhelmed by their cares and their concerns, they begin to lose their resolve to persevere in spiritual sobriety. Hard times come our way, and before we know it, we find ourselves turning to all these escapisms that are offered to us by the world. And when we do that, when we refrain from turning to the Lord in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our struggles, we become all the more vulnerable, all the more susceptible to the attacks of the evil one. That's Peter's main concern here in the latter portion of chapter 5. Be sober-minded, he says. Be watchful, be vigilant. Resist the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He seeks to devour you. Peter is saying, be careful, beloved. Be on guard. Be ready to resist him. And these are encouraging, emboldening words, aren't they? Because even though he is very powerful, even though he holds so much sway over the people of the world because he is the prince of the power of the air, even though he is a real force to be reckoned with, resistance is not futile. Resistance is not futile when the God of all grace is on your side. And that's what Peter is showing us here in our passage tonight. Resistance is not futile when the God of all grace is on your side. We're going to consider this together. We're going to consider, first of all, Peter's word of warning, but also his word of hope, that even in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of the great struggle with sin and Satan, we are not on our own. But the Lord is on your side, the God of all grace. He is on your side. But still, you must be ready. You must be ready for Satan's attacks, awake and aware. And that's the first thing Peter shows us as we begin in verse 8 of our passage. Perhaps some of you are familiar with C.S. Lewis's famous Screwtape Letters and those imaginative exchanges he writes between Screwtape, one of Satan's seasoned demons, and his young nephew protege, Wormwood. In each letter, Screwtape seeks to train young Wormwood in the art of satanic deception and temptation. And throughout this book, C.S. Lewis sets out to illumine for his readers what are some of the most common tactics that the devil uses to hold unbelievers and their unbelief. What are some of those common tactics that Satan uses to coax believers to return to a state of unbelief? If you've never read before, it very well may be quite profitable and thought-provoking for you, and how Satan makes use of your own weaknesses, of your own vulnerabilities to tempt you, to allure you, to pursue after those fleeting pleasures of sin in this life. But the main reason for why C.S. Lewis writes this book is very similar to the reason why Peter is writing what he is writing here in chapter 5 of his letter. To put forth the truth that the devil is real and he is active. He is like this roaring lion. He is prowling around, seeking someone to devour. Lewis notes in the preface of his book that there are two but equal opposite errors into which the human race has often fallen concerning devils. He said the first error is to simply disbelieve their existence, to suppress the reality of their existence and unrighteousness. The other error, he said, is to take such an excessive and unhealthy interest in them that you lose sight of the fact that their kingdom is a dead-end kingdom. That even the demons are under the authority of the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. And C.S. Lewis says that the devils, the demons, are equally happy with both of these things. Because both of these things whittle away our sobriety, whittle away our watchfulness. And so Peter writes in verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." You see, unlike the Sadducees of Peter's day, who denied the real spiritual forces of angels and demons, we confess that God has indeed created these beings. He has created angels, and that some of those angels have fallen from the excellence in which God created them into eternal perdition. We confess in Article 12 of the Belgic Confession that these devils and evil spirits are so corrupt that they are enemies of God and enemies of everything good. They lie in wait for the church and for every member of it like thieves, so that with all their power they might destroy and spoil everything by their wicked deceptions. Brothers and sisters, we must acknowledge tonight and confess to the world that the devil is real and he is active. He is very active. What we find here in 1 Peter 5 is that the one lurking behind all this hostility of the world, the one lurking behind all this sorrow that has been pressed upon the church of Jesus Christ, the one lurking behind it all is the devil himself, the father of lies. That we know from Ephesians 2 that it's the spirit of Satan who is at work in the sons of disobedience. In fact, even here in this place of worship, even presently in this hour of worship, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to distract, seeking to destroy, seeking to devour the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even here now in this sermon, he is tempting you. He's seeking to distract you from hearing the voice of the King through the ministry of his word. And his temptation is strong. Not because he wants you to think that he is king. No, he is more subtle than that, and his offer is more attractive than that. No, he wants you to believe that you are king. And that any demand placed upon you by King Jesus is an infringement, is attacking your personal freedom. Even the hearing of sermons, Satan is working. Perhaps he's coaxing you to drift away, to think about your to-do list for the week ahead. Perhaps he's inciting lustful thoughts in the minds of you teenagers, getting you to drift away to another world, rather than to hear the word of the King. And so Peter calls us to be sober-minded, to be watchful, to be awake and aware, to be ready at all times in every way for the attack of our greatest adversary, the devil. Perhaps you've heard before that in the Old Testament Hebrew, that's what Satan's name means, the adversary, the opponent, the accuser. And Peter uses very vivid imagery, doesn't he? Satan is like a roaring lion on the prowl, seeking to devour. Just like a lion, he knows when to stay back a bit, and he knows when to pounce at the most opportune time. Are you ready for him, congregation? Are you awake and aware? Are you watchful, sober-minded, awake and aware to the spiritual dangers that are all around you? Perhaps some of you have seen in documentaries or read in books about how lions operate when they're on the hunt. Lions are stealthy beasts, aren't they? They stalk their unsuspecting prey, and then when the time is just right, they attack. And once they have their prey in the clutches of their jaws, there's oftentimes no avenue for escape. That's the imagery Peter is using. This is how Satan operates in the world. This is how Satan operates in your own lives to tempt you to sin. He attacks when his prey are least suspecting, when his prey are acting like careless antelopes, presuming safety, presuming everything is just A-okay, refusing to take a full accounting of their surroundings. The devil looks for your spiritual blind spots. He seeks to discover your weaknesses, where you are most susceptible to temptation. He takes notice of where you are living most unwisely in your life. And then he plans his attack. And so Peter calls us to sober-mindedness, to be on watch, so that when the lion attempts to strike, you are prepared to resist him, firm in your faith. You need to be awake and aware, congregation. Not dull to your surroundings, not exposing yourselves to things that you know will only lead you down a sinful path. Not exposing yourself to things that you know in the past have done that very thing. Peter's inviting us to keep before us. Remember those words many of us learned to sing when we were young. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Because your Father above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful. Little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you hear. Little feet, where you go. Be watchful. Be awake. Be aware. Be on guard. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul from 1 Thessalonians 5, where he calls us to be children of the light, children of the day, and not to live as children of the night and the darkness. He says, don't be in a constant state of sleep, he says, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. There is a persistent state of vigilance to which we are called, beloved. If you are to resist Satan's lies, being firm in your faith, you must be ready for his attacks, being awake and aware. Peter continues the thought of verse 8 and verse 9. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Perhaps some of you are here tonight and have been struggling with besetting sins for a very long time. Perhaps you have been struggling with besetting sins for so long that you have begun to believe the devil's lie that resistance is futile, that there is no hope for you. Perhaps you're starting to think that it's not really the case for you, that you only have remaining sins, but that your sins are still reigning over you, and that you cannot escape and find freedom from them. Maybe you feel like you're caught all tangled up in that all too familiar pattern of falling into sin, repenting of that sin, only to fall back into the same sin all over again. So maybe we're thinking this evening we know the truth in our minds that yes, God's grace is theoretically greater than our sins, but we're not experiencing the reality of that truth in our hearts and in our lives. I wonder if Peter must have known that struggle when he wrote these words, that struggle of feeling like you are all on your own. That perhaps you feel like you are experiencing that aloneness and the struggle with sin, and that you can't tell anybody else because there's no way that someone else is struggling with the same things I'm struggling with. But that's one of the devil's greatest lies, brothers and sisters. Not only to make you think that you are all on your own in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your struggles, but that because you're on your own, resistance is futile, that your sins are too serious, that your flesh is too frail. And so bothering to fight against sin is a foolish cause and a hopeless endeavor. What makes the devil's lie so deceptive, so convincing, is that what he says is in fact partially true. He often does it. He speaks with half-truths, masquerading in scriptural clothing to twist God's words. Even as he did in the garden with Adam and Eve so long ago. And so it's true that so long as you think and act as though you can fight the evil one in your own strength, resistance will be futile. Because in your own strength, you are not stronger than Satan. Satan has a whole army and a whole wicked world at his disposal. You cannot withstand against that on your own. But what Peter is saying, congregation, is that here's the thing. You don't stand on your own. But as John says in his first epistle, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Resistance is not futile when the God of all grace is on your side, and He is, beloved. He is truly on your side. As we heard last week, He gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble, to those who humble themselves under His mighty hand, casting all their cares and concerns upon Him. He gives grace to those who cling in the midst of their suffering to Him, trusting Him in the midst of their trials, returning to Him in the midst of their sinfulness. To put it very simply, beloved, what Peter is saying to us tonight is that in Christ you have regained the power, you have regained the ability to take your stand against the devil, regained the power to withstand against the roaring lion. You now have the upper hand. Because in Christ you are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has indeed come. And so even when you have sinned again and that sense of guilt re-arise in your heart and faith and repentance, the Word of God says that even then you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That before the throne of God above, we have that strong and perfect plea as we sung a few moments ago. When Satan tempts us to despair, what do? Upward we look to see Christ there, who made an end of all my sin. You are not alone in the midst of your suffering. You are not alone in the midst of your struggle against sin and Satan. But the God of all grace is on your side. And your struggles and your sufferings are also known by your brotherhood throughout the world. The Apostle Paul says that no sin has overtaken you except that which is common to man. Don't believe the devil's lie. That you've been left to your own devices. That you've been left as orphans to fend for yourself. Resist him, firm in your faith. Resist the devil, says James, and he will flee from you. That's God's promise. That if you resist the devil, he will run away from you. Because he knows that the one who now dwells within you is even greater in power than he is. Resist him firm in the faith. Resist him in the Spirit of Christ, who also resisted him when he went through the wilderness, resisting Satan with the Word of God, so that in him and through him you might have the ability to do the same. Resist him by doing what Paul says in Ephesians 6, by putting on the full armor of God so that you might be able to withstand against all the schemes of the devil. It's true what Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness against the spiritual forces of evil. Resist him, putting on the full armor and praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, staying alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. God's word, God's armor, God's listening ear, these are the ways in which we resist the devil firm in our faith. And if after you have tried those things, and if he is still roaring, if he is still tempting, then perhaps consider the famous words of Martin Luther, who said that the best way to drive out the devil, if he will not yield to Scripture, is to jeer and mock him, for he cannot endure scorn. Congregation, aren't all the offers of the devil quite laughable and mockable in the end? They offer us everything but deliver on nothing. He promised Adam and Eve enhanced life. They would be just like God, that they would know good and evil. And what did they receive beside the curse of death? God opposes the proud, and so he opposes the devil. The God of grace is on your side. He gives grace to the humble, to those who cling to his promises and faith. He gives grace and his help to those who have found life by giving up their lives to follow the one who conquered our pride, to follow the one who conquered our most proud adversary, the devil, and his humiliation on the cross. Resistance is not futile when the God of all grace is on your side. Resistance is not futile against the devil, against all his forces. It is not in vain when you are resting in God's promises, being firm in your faith. You are receiving God's help and you are being fortified by his promises for the future. And so we finish our sermon tonight where we began with that promise of God that after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Yes, Peter's saying, Satan prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But as I trust many of you have come to know, there is a greater lion, isn't there? A greater lion from the tribe of Judah, King Jesus, whose mighty roar has summoned the nations to find rest in him, as Hosea prophesied in the 11th chapter of his prophecy. Consider the greater lion, congregation, when you are going through the fiery trial. Consider what he did, that one day you might share in his glory forever. And when you are in the midst of your suffering, when you are in the midst of struggling, trust the God of grace will not turn away from his grace. Because your suffering is not a sign that God has left you to fend for yourself. Your continued sinning is not a sign that God has removed his transforming grace from you, that he is no longer working in you and sanctifying you to make him holy as he is holy. For both your suffering and your sins in this present life summon you again and again to cast yourselves upon his shoulders in faith, to find mercy, to find peace at the foot of his cross, to find rest in the reality that his is the dominion forever and ever, not Satan's. Satan does not have dominion over you, not anymore. But your God is the God who sits on the throne of the universe. This is the good news of the kingdom. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, says God, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And that's where Peter ends our passage tonight. Your God reigns. He reigns for your sake. He exercises dominion in all the world for your security, for your safety from the devil. And he makes this pledge to you tonight that after you have suffered a little while, he will restore. He will confirm. He will strengthen and establish you. Every wrong he will make right. Everything that the devil has made crooked, he will make straight again. And he will do this for you and me until all his purposes are accomplished at his second coming. And so we can sing with great boldness, can't we, the words of our song of application. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. And yet we know that we do not strive on our own. And even though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, yes. But we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. Trust that, beloved, in the week ahead of you, being ready for Satan's attacks, awake and aware, resisting his lies, firm in your faith, resting in his promises, receiving his help, being fortified by those promises of the future. Resistance is not futile. Resistance is not futile when the God of all grace is on your side. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace again. In the name of Christ, in him we make our plea. And Father, we pray that you would arrest our consciences and our lives with these words of warning and these words of hope. That you would indeed so indwell us by your Spirit that we have the strength and the power to resist the devil, to resist his lies, to be ready, to be sober, to be watchful. Father, we pray that you would save us from our spiritual lethargy, that you would save us from our spiritual sluggishness, for it's in those moments when our guard is down that Satan strikes. Father, we thank you that you have indeed sent into the world your Son, that great lion from the tribe of Judah, that he is a stronger lion than the roaring lion who seeks to devour. That he is a lion who allowed himself to be devoured at the cross that we might be saved and have life in him. So we might know the blessed reality, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Father, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our struggles, we pray that you would grant us the humility to confess our sins one to another. And to seek help and to take comfort in the reality that our suffering is known by our brotherhood throughout the world. We might remind each other that the devil is a liar from the beginning. Father, help us to trust that resistance is not futile. Help us live lives of gratitude that you are indeed on our side at all times and in every way. Father, help us in this until you bring about the fullness of your promises to bring us indeed that eternal glory to which you have called us in Christ, that we might know the fullness of vindication, the fullness of restoration, confirmation, of full strength and being established in him forever. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. For a song of application, let's sing 244, A Mighty Fortress. After our doxology, will be 145C, verse 1. This verse 1 of 145C.